Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Not to throw my hands up and get too ridiculous at 6:04 on a Thursday, but 14 playoff teams likely in the new NFL collective bargaining agreement. We welcome you inside TSL. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900, at Tyler Ivins, at Will West, WNML, and at TSL 99.1. More chances for you to score inside the Coors Light Climb to the championship. And we take a peek at what Tennessee needs to do to knock off an Auburn team, now losers of consecutive games, and injury bug biting at the wrong time if you're Bruce Pearl's program. We understand, cry me a river, especially with the Balls needing to climb back into the NCAA tournament picture. But we do get started with, well, first, we shouldn't even just talk about postseason formats, even though that's going to be a huge structuring piece to the new collective bargaining agreement. Well, I'm just flat-out surprised that there actually seems like they're getting in New York. The Players Association and the owners are actually agreeing on something, and there's a chance that this thing, not just the playoff format, the entire collective bargaining agreement could be agreed upon before the NFL Combine begins next week. At one point in time, there were people saying impossible, no chance, get ready for a work stoppage. There's no way the owners and players are going to come together on something. And it seems like, at least based on Adam Schefter, it's darn near done.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, DeMaurice Smith was telling players, prepare to be out of work for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
And
maybe
now it looks like,
who knows?
Maybe so. Well, I guess it was an internal memo that was sent to players. But maybe the hope was they would leak it out and that would light a fire under the owners. Based on everything I watched last night, and if you haven't heard, what the idea would be is this. Players would go from 47% revenue share to a 48.5% revenue share with 17 games in the season and adding an extra playoff game as well. So there's more television inventory the NFL would get. They would shift 1.5% of the revenue to the players. I do think the belief was that the players were going to hold out until they got guaranteed contracts.
Right.
And until they got, look, right now, if a guy's 2 years in the league, blows his knee out and can never play football again, he doesn't have any money beyond what he's made in those 2 years, and he doesn't get insurance moving forward either. And so the belief was they were going to say, okay, let's get guaranteed contracts. One, let's get let's get insurance for a guy that gets injured in his first 3 years. Because right now, I'll just tell you, Terry Fair was the guy who told me one time that he went back to play one more year after a broken neck because he needed his one more year to get health insurance for the rest of his life. Right. He had to have 6 years in at the time. Mark Schlereth, I've heard, said the same thing. Yeah, I went back because I needed to get health insurance, and it ended up that I was able to stay healthy and go for a really long time after that. But really, the reason I even got healthy to go back and play was I needed my to make sure that I was going to have health insurance, because you might incur $1 million worth of medical issues and medical bills over the years just trying to recover from a blown-out knee or a neck injury or something like that you have to have surgery on multiple times. Looks like it's going to get done, though. And I don't see anything about I don't see anything about guaranteed contracts in here, Tyler. Do you?
Can't believe it. No, none whatsoever. And you're right. That was kind of the hanging point on why the NFL, the players and the owners weren't going to see eye to eye. But maybe this could be the reason why that all of a sudden things are now turning to at least brighter and finding a solution. You just brought up the revenue share moving from 47% to 48.5%. For those of you who are wondering, well, what's just 1.5%? That can't be much. There's no way that they're all now satisfied over 1.5%. No, that equates to a shift of revenue of $5 billion. That's billion with a B.
Yeah, and I wonder.
$5 billion, Will.
I do want to know over what period of time is that? Is that over the course of the $5 billion over the course of the CBA that would run 12 years? Because if the NFL right now, like where they're trying to get by 2027 is $25 billion in revenue.
Right.
And they're not there right now. They're, I think, around $15 billion. And so it's, are we talking about between now and 2027? Are we talking about now and 2032? I have no idea what the window is that they're looking at to get that $5 billion number, because Adam Schefter hasn't given us the window they're talking about. It's not $5 billion in one single year going to the players that was going to go to the owners were going to be able to keep before.
So let's just get to what people are focusing on right now, and that is the new playoff format.
Yep.
Will, if this was in place last year, 14 teams instead of 12, your seven seeds in the NFC would have been the LA Rams, and the seven seed in the AFC would have been the Pittsburgh Steelers. Had this playoff format been in place last year, the Kansas City Chiefs, your Super Bowl champions, would not have gotten a first-round bye. They would have played in the opening round, the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. And then now people wondering, now again, you can't just change the scenario, but had it been in place this year, the Chiefs would have had to play an extra game. Now, be it would have been against a Pittsburgh team that didn't have a quarterback last year. So how much of that would have made a difference? I don't know. But hey, an additional playoff game, that means more teams get an opportunity to get in. I don't know about you, but I'm not a fan of this. I thought that the NFL had a perfect playoff format in hand. Now, did I think it was nuts that teams that won their division got a chance to host a playoff game over a team that perhaps in a wild card round had a better record than them? You know, like, look, watching Philadelphia host a game against, Seattle, and then watching Philadelphia have to host a game against the, who did Philadelphia lose to this year? The Minnesota Vikings? I misspoke again. The New Orleans Saints? Seattle? I apologize. Thank you. Seattle going to Philadelphia, and it was the Saints playing the Vikings. I misspoke. Thank you. There could be some small tweaks that needed to be made to this, but when it came to how they met, had two teams advancing in a bye off a wild card, I was okay with this. I was okay with six teams. To me, expanding, we would be griping and just robbling, as South Park would say, robble, robble, griping just like MLB expanding their playoff format.
I don't understand. Well, I know why. You want to greed? That's why. But I don't know how this makes your league better. It pretty much guarantees if you're 9-7, you're going to get into the playoffs, right?
Essentially.
Yeah. And so if you're 9-7, you're in the playoffs, period.
We can call this the Dallas Cowboys rule.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't love this at all. I don't understand the point of this outside of just basic greed. If you have something rolling and you're number one and you're destroying everybody, I don't understand the idea of adding the extra layer of that and only having the one team with the bye. It's probably not going to be the end of the world and not change a ton, but I am not a fan of this because you're adding an 8-8 and a 9-7 team last year. So, I mean, it's kind of to me like, okay, I don't see your point here outside of just your basic greed. Right. And let's not make decisions based on greed. Let's make decisions based on putting the best product we can out there, and you'll make as money as you possibly can out there.
You know,
but 17-game regular season, not a fan. Don't understand the idea of why you don't just add an extra bye week in there somewhere, and you have 17 weeks of or 18 weeks of total of NFL coverage, 18 weeks of NFL games, and you can raise your television revenue that way instead of you adding 17 games to the two each team schedule. When we already remember what 2 years ago was when we watched every quarterback get knocked out and ratings were slightly down, right? And the NFL's ratings are never down, and it was just kind of not a great season. Andrew Luck was out. Cam Newton was out. I mean, we just kept watching. Aaron Rodgers got hurt. It was just not a great year. And my concern is we're going to see more and more and more of that. Or we're going to get to week 15 next year, week 16 next year, and you're going to see starters sit week 16, 17, and 18.
Right.
That's my other concern that's going to happen here. And again, I just always think if in business or in life or in sports especially, if you say, how do I put the best product I can out there on the field? And you don't try to artificially create something. That's how you maximize your revenue. People are going to come. But whenever you try to do things like this to finagle something or try to throw something out there, it usually waters down the product and makes the product not as good, and it usually hurts you in some way, shape, or form. I will say, I was against baseball adding the second wild card team. Baseball needs that. Baseball needs one and done. Baseball needs it so bad that they can't see straight base. You know what I mean? Like, that is a must-watch game in sports. And there are, how many must-watch games are there in baseball? A game 6 or 7 in a championship series, a game 6 or 7 in a World Series. So you have a total of 4 games that are must-see or 6 games that are must-see in an entire baseball year, and adding that one wild card game makes it 8. So I didn't like it, and it ended up being something good, so maybe this will end up being something good as well.
I'm usually on the train of don't knock it till you try it, but this, it just seems like it's going to be overkill. To me, it just seems like that extra game is going to be overkill, and I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to regret it the first time somebody's blowing their knee out in Week 18. And somebody can say, well, that could have happened in Week 17. It just feels like that the domino effect's going to fall, and somebody will gripe about this. So, again, don't knock it till you try it, but right now I'm definitely on the other side of the fence against everything right now that the NFL is doing. But, hey, you know what, Will? If it keeps it from a work stoppage, guess what? More NFL's better than no NFL. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Are you for more teams in the playoffs, or do you like the exclusive club of right now 12 teams getting in that has been the format for many years? You're listening to 99.1. You're the sports animal, Eric Kane, with our first Tennessee Lottery Sports Update.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Lady Vols' Renia Davis has been named to the midseason weight watch list for the 2020 Wade Trophy. Davis is averaging a career best 18.1 points, 8.1 rebounds per game to lead Tennessee this year. ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting the NFL will shift to 17 regular season games and add two more playoff teams if the new collective bargaining agreement is finalized. According to Schefter, the belief is that the new deal will get done this week and the effects will take place for the 2020 season. Cleveland Cavaliers coach John Beilein has officially resigned, will be assigned a new role within the organization. Assistant coach J.B. Bickerstaff will take over as head coach. And finals from Wednesday, Georgia upset number 13, Auburn 65-55. And NC State also pulled off the upset, downing number 6, Duke 88-66. Special edition Jumbo Bucks Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery are hot off the press. Play today for your chance to win up to $300,000. It's 6:14. We're going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels traffic coming up in 15 seconds. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
So if the new CBA was in place for the 2019-2020 NFL playoffs, the 7-team format bracket would have looked like this. Obviously asking, would you sign up for this? The answer would be yes, because you would want to see more football. But this is what it would have looked like last year in the NFC. You would have had 7-seeded the LA Rams taking on 2-seeded Green Bay. You then would have had your 6-seeded Minnesota. They would have been still taking on New Orleans. The same formats would have been in place there for 5-4. The only difference is Green Bay doesn't get the bye. They would have taken on the LA Rams. On the other side, it would have been the 7-seeded Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the 2-seeded Kansas City Chiefs.
8-8 Steelers. Let's get that, put that out there as well.
Yeah.
8-8 Steelers are going to get in.
I don't know if 500 should be good enough to get into the postseason. But
not most years, and my concern is at least as many years as not. That's what we'll see.
So let me ask you right now, let's look at it from a Titans standpoint. The Titans were the 6th seed, made it all the way to the AFC Championship game, right?
Yep.
So if you're Kansas City and you're taking on the 6-seeded, I mean, look at it like this. I mean, I don't know about you guys out there, but if a 7-seeded Pittsburgh were to, you know, to end up winning, then you see them going up against a Kansas City team. Like this year, maybe this is just a bad analogy or a comparison because of how bad Pittsburgh was without a quarterback. But I mean, an 8-8 team just being sent off to slaughter against a Kansas City team. Do you really want to put a team out there that was clearly better than the other for 4 quarters just to say, hey, you get to buy a t-shirt, you get to sell a little bit more merchandise, you know, because your team made an 8-8 playoff spot? I don't know about you, Will. I thought that the NFL had everything perfect. They just needed minor tweaks. I don't think they needed a complete overhaul by adding another team.
Yeah, I don't know. And this is, again, a little bit of greed. Here's the thing. That the NFL's been recession-proof. And this is another thing that will test it. I do think that some portion of it is that football's limited, so we tune in. And now you're adding another week of football and another week of games. I don't think that's in the world. Again, I don't understand why you put the players through this again. But for them, more money, whatever. I don't understand tweaking something. Like I don't, there's one more game that you get. Like, is there, I don't know, how much more money can you really generate with that? It's not like they're not going to make money hand over fist whenever the next television contract comes up. Anyway, they were going to make more revenue. Does this add another level of revenue? Yes, it does. I'm not a big fan of putting dang near half the league in anything. The NBA playoffs is incredibly watered down because you're putting dang near half the league. So, I don't know. Look, at the end of the day, it's fine. I mean, here's what will happen. We'll watch. And we might complain about it for the first year or two, but after that, we won't even pay attention to it. We'll just say, ooh, who's getting in? Ooh, my team's getting in at 8-8, 9-7. It's going to save a lot of coaches' jobs. I will say, a lot of coaches, it's going to become a lot easier now for coaches to, and really what will you'll be is 9-8. We'll get into the playoffs. Is that what you're talking about? We're looking at 9-8 is going to get you into the playoffs. 8-9 probably doesn't.
Immediately, before this agreement is in place, all right, and there's, you know, they, even though Adam Schefter is coming out saying that it looks like it's going to get done, apparently until the ink is dried, you still have a long way to go. Anybody can get upset at 1 second. They can add more to the contract or take more away from their agreement. Where does it end? Now, granted, I think it's bad for us to think 12 years down the road, 14 years down the road, but I mean, when does this end? When are you? What's going to happen next time? Is it 20 games? Should we wait and just see how this plays out first?
Yeah.
I understand you got to do what you got to do to make sure that there isn't a work stoppage. And it seems that the owners and the associate and the players unions coming together and have found a happy medium and agreement here. But man, if you read the Twitter accounts of some of these players out there, like Richard Sherman and others, they were totally against this. And they were some of the most vocal players from the union. It's $5 billion. And you know, the difference in that
over how long?
Bingo. Over how long? How much money did you make up there, and how many of these guys are actually going to see the bulk of that money after they retire?
Well, I'm sure you saw this, right? It was Jamal Adams that tweeted, more money for them equals more money for us, more money for everybody. That's good. More games equals more money. And Richard Sherman tweeted at him, it ain't that easy, man. Yeah. Give me a call, and we'll talk about it. And what happened last time when there was the lockout? And what happened was, Peyton and Drew Brees tried to set up a system, and they were the heads of this, of trying to be the front runners of and leaders of, okay, sit on 2-game checks. If you can go 2, 3, 4 game checks in, we can change your financial future for the rest of your life. And players wouldn't do that. They wanted their game check right then. And so Peyton and Drew Brees kind of got blown up with that, and players didn't get to hold out until they got a CBA, because owners weren't going to go 3 weeks into the NFL season not getting money from CBS, Fox, ESPN.
Right.
That wasn't going to happen. And so Peyton and Brees couldn't get it done. It seems like there's a group, including Richard Sherman, that are trying to get players to say, hey, don't think about just this short-term money grab. You got to think about long-term here. And they're probably going to lose that battle the same way Peyton and Sherman lost, and Peyton and Drew lost the one a few years ago.
So do you believe that there's ever going to be a time where the union's going to have the upper hand over the owners?
No, because I think that you make so much less money and the window closes on you so much more quickly. You don't have dead money contracts for the most part in the NFL the way that you do Major League Baseball. And you don't have just tons. You're not seeing just anybody get a $15 million a year deal the way that you do in the NBA, because you're talking about a 52-man roster versus a 15-man roster. So it's, the money's got to spread out a little bit. There's a rookie salary structure in place. And you're not willing to pay a whatever the NFL equivalent of Jaylen Brown is with the Boston Celtics. He just got a max contract last year. Guys that are the fourth best player on their team are getting max contracts right now. Third best player on their team is almost guaranteed a max contract right now. You don't see that kind of thing in the NFL where the third best player on your team is going to get $20 million plus. It just doesn't happen. So guys want that money up front because they need that money up front, and they know they can deal with an injury at any moment. And the window's closed on them, and they didn't get the bag.
It just seems like that this was the year, or this was going to be the agreement in place before we get pushed up against it, that the NFL players might be able to get what they've always wanted, and that is the guaranteed contracts.
Guaranteed contracts and the insurance for the rest of their lives.
And it seems like that they had the owners by the stones.
And the owners had to do it because the owners needed the revenue to get to, because they've told investors, they've told corporate partners, by 2027, we're going to be at $25 billion a year in revenue, which meant they had to add $10 billion a year in revenue within 7 years.
So who are the people that are part of the players union that immediately folded over $5 billion and said, okay, this will suffice?
Well, it's the difference in, are you Richard Sherman or are you Jamal Adams? Jamal Adams looking at it and saying, hey, let's get this money, right? And I get it. Richard Sherman's looking at it saying, hey, let's think long term, because it's not just about us, and let's look at the larger picture here. But Richard Sherman's also made his money. So it's easy for him to say, I don't need this game check, because look at a guy like Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry probably needs his next game check because he's not made the same kind of money that some of these other guys have. Dak Prescott needs his next game check probably, especially if he's going to get $30 million a year. That next game check is life-changing for him and his family. Sherman's already made his. So it's, you know, it was easy for, especially back in the day when they're talking about, and I don't remember who it was, but I remember sitting at media days and Schefter's going through everything, and whoever the business reporter was for ESPN at the time are going through, hey, this one guy who's really vocal, that's a running back, was making like $600,000 a year. It's easier for Peyton and Brees, who at the time are making $20 million plus per year, to say, guys, let's just hold out for 4 weeks. But guys need their game check to make sure, because a lot of them, when they bought homes, did them on based on balloon payments and things like that. and guys couldn't afford to miss those balloon payments and miss these payments with their by not getting their game check coming up the next year.
Tyler Ivins, Will West, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. More games equal happier you, right? You're the NFL fan out there, but there could be a detriment to adding an additional game and letting more teams with worse records into the postseason. Your thoughts on the NFL's possible expansion of the NFL playoffs under the new CBA, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Tyler and Will, more to get to next here on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
All guests brought to you on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Your chance to get qualified for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship coming up later on in the show. We're talking about tickets to every session of the men's basketball tournament. $500 spending cash, all courtesy of Coors Light. We'll give you that cue to call sometime before the show is over. Did you watch Duke last night?
Did.
Goodness. Late night. It was a late night, so we're not on the low. 5 hours of sleep is where we're at right now.
No, it was a very late night for many reasons. And let's just say your boy decided, you know what? Let's make a little easy coin here. There's no way Duke's not going to go to Raleigh and cover 6.5 points. Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy. Yeah, we had to stay up even later than that for Cal Irvine to make sure we broke even on the evening. Last night was a little bit of a poop-your-pants show.
it kind of was. Duke has beaten... And look, it's hard to do it every night. I get that. Duke was playing as well as anybody in the nation. I would make the argument in the last 3 weeks they've been the best team in the nation. Yeah. They didn't just lose. They got beat by 22 last night.
When it was 15 at halftime, I said to myself, all right, what are we going to get live-wise here? And even Vegas thought, okay, this is an anomaly. Duke will kick it in overdrive in the second half and everything will be fine.
Did you hedge?
Tried to.
Okay.
They didn't give me a sweet enough number. You're down 15 at half. You're down 15 at half. If you're Vegas, what's your live? What are you giving the live bettors at halftime? What spread are you giving Duke to get back in the game?
I don't know, 7?
Okay, that's what you would think.
Yeah.
Even if you gave me 6, I'd consider it.
Yeah.
4.5.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh.
What?
Yeah.
You're going to give me 4.5 at halftime and they're down 11? Excuse me, 15?
Did you watch Seton Hall Butler? Because I did not watch that game. I wish I would have. Buzzer beater that happened in that one. I was watching AEW instead. Cody in a cage match.
You mentioned something off the air, and I said, how did everything go last night? Because it's all on my DVR. Because what was I doing? I started at 6:30 with Seton Hall Butler.
Yes.
Only for it to then carry over to the Georgetown-Providence game, to which I was flipping back and forth between Georgetown, Providence, Duke, NC State, Georgia, Auburn. When I tell you there was college basketball on in my house from 6:30 to when my head finally hit the pillow and fell asleep at 11:15 last night, that is not an embellishment.
One of the smartest things FS1's done is start their games at 6:30 for the Big East.
Genius.
Because I'm already in. And so otherwise, my first stop's going to be ESPN on the remote, right? Of course. And I'm going to say, okay, what game's on? If the game's even somewhat compelling and there's nothing else there, then that's where I'm going to stay. But if I've already got it on FS1 and I'm bought into a Big East game, I'm not going to turn it to an ACC game I don't care about, right?
You know, plus, I'll tell you what it does for me.
I'm not turning it to Louisville Syracuse in the middle of Seton Hall against Butler.
Here's why FS1's got me. Earlier start times, likable personalities and play-by-play voices, names that I know, voices that I know, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. Nothing gets me juiced more. No television jingle gets me juiced more than hearing da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, the old NBC on NBA.
Yeah.
Or the NBA on NBC theme.
The John Tesh.
FS1 now has that as their college basketball theme.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I'm sitting there getting ready to hear Bill Rafferty, and all of a sudden I just hear... Butler and Seton Hall at the Rock.
Is that most iconic piece of music in sports?
Yes. Yes.
Over the Masters theme.
Yes. Yes.
I'll agree.
Yes. As a Knicks fan, even though it would result in bad times, nothing would get me juiced up more as a young kid on my grandparents' floor, my meemaw peepaw, and hearing... Patrick Ewing hosts Reggie Miller and the Pacers, and it's just like, all right, Knicks Pacers, let's go. And it's just like,
In the middle of December, and you don't care. Still jacked because you've got the music behind it. That's right. Marv Albert's hadn't bit anybody yet.
Exactly. But so the fact that FS1 has gotten the rights to that jingle or to that theme,
Dude, I'm here for
it. That is fantastic. Okay, can we go around the room since this just seems to be a housekeeping segment anyway at this? Did you, Kaner, see the Sports Business Journal piece about NBA local ratings and or the Athletics write-up about it?
No, I saw your tweet about it, so I know it's out there, but I haven't read
it. Yeah, okay. Half. That's what NBA ratings are right now. In local markets, they're half what they were 2 years ago. I'm not talking about back when the NBA was like was great. I'm talking about the 90s or the 80s. Yeah. I'm talking about 2 years ago, local ratings, not what's on the ESPN or TNT, half. That's not good. If half the number of Spurs fans, half the number of Warriors I get, half the number of Cavs fans, half the number of Lakers fans are watching now with LeBron and Anthony Davis there, half the number of Bucks fans are watching, that's not okay. And that is scary.
Is the NBA going, you know where?
No, the NBA's done what baseball did. And it's a tough balance because baseball, what baseball did was say, I'm going to give the diehard what they want.
Right.
And the diehard's willing to evolve with the sport in a way that the casual fan's not. The NBA is giving the diehard who wants to see Joel Embiid face up from 20 feet out and shoot a jumper. And they want to see those types of things. They want to watch James Harden take four steps, call it a Euro step, and then throw up a 29-footer. But the casual fan does not. So what you've done is you've alienated the casual fan. And so you can't just tune in to watch the Rockets against the Thunder. You can't just tune in to watch in the middle of June. You're not just tuning in to watch the Twins play the Tigers.
Right.
So that's what baseball's done. Now, you don't want to go too far where it's all about, let me try to get these people who aren't watching my sport. It's a balance, or you become NASCAR, where I've got cookie cutter tracks. I've got, oh, you know what I mean? I've got this car, the car tomorrow. I've got all these things out there that I'm trying, that it takes away from the racing. But somebody's got to be the grown-up in the room and say, hey, that's great. Twitter thinks you're woke, Adam Silver, but your league sucks and you're hemorrhaging money. And you're in an era where we get more money for television revenue and more revenue than we ever have for sports. You're going to contract your salary cap next year because you're running this thing into the ground.
Yeah, it is so funny, too, because at least from the front, it looks like that Adam Silver is going to find well-oiled product and that he's done just a seamless job of taking the handoff from David Stern, God rest his soul. And he's making the association look bigger, better, expanding to other countries, and it's just fantastic. But when you look inside the numbers, as you've already mentioned, or at least coming from the back of the house, boy, does it need a lot of work. And this is something that you can't put on the market, because if not, you're going to get it for half of what you paid for, and it's not going to end up well for you.
And one thing that they noted in this piece as well is in the South, it's fallen apart. Right, the South still watches college basketball. The South watches more college basketball than any other area. But if you look at the teams in the South, time was, and they even brought up a piece where there was an NBA All-Star game in Charlotte, and they sold out every game, 24,000 people in the regular season, up to every home game, up to the All-Star game, and they had one of the highest ratings for a local market in the NBA. Hawks used to put a ton of people into Phillips Arena. Now,
been a minute since the Steve Smith, the Kimbe Mutombo days.
Yes.
When they signed Dwight Howard, you were just kind of like, eh.
Kevin Willis isn't walking through that door. Spud Webb's not walking through that door if we can play the Patino game.
And in fairness, quickly, name what franchise right now is really rocking your television.
There's nobody that
Grizzly,
I want to watch.
In particular, the South.
Oh, there's definitely nothing in the South.
I mean, the Grizzlies.
Oh, John Morant's really good? Grizzlies, okay, that's great.
Grizzlies are a great story, but Orlando, Miami, Charlotte, and Atlanta are doing nothing.
Nothing.
Me.
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, ooh, Jimmy Butler in Miami? Okay.
Yeah.
Best home record in the NBA?
Yep.
Okay.
So, you're keeping audience in college basketball. You don't have audience in the NBA. Why is that? And here's what the NBA diehard will tell you. Well, we just need more freedom of movement. People like, it's the same thing with this. They created freedom of movement to get dunks and plays at the rim because everybody loved Jordan's plays at the rim.
Right.
And everybody loved John Starks with the dunk over people, and they love to see those types of plays. So they try to artificially create that. In the same way, juice baseball, pull the fences in, and so now you got a bunch of jabronis out there just uppercut swinging, and they're willing to sit and strike out three times if they get one solo home run.
Right.
And that's a solid day. The NBA, guys are willing to go out and just throw up. Again, how many ever three-pointers, 37 three-pointers in a game for a team? Because if we hit a certain number of corner threes, analytics tells us that gives us the best chance to win. That's great. Nobody's going to watch you, though.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Love it or leave it on the other side. The final segment to hour number one is next. Your Thursday TSL continues on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
All right, NFL offensive tackle Greg Robertson was held Wednesday in a Texas jail on a pending drug distribution charge after agents claimed to find 157 pounds of marijuana in a rented vehicle. Robinson, a former Auburn Tiger, played for the Browns last season. ESPN Adam Schefter is reporting the NFL will shift to 17 regular season games and add two more playoff teams if new collective bargaining agreement is finalized. According to Schefter, the belief is that the new deal will get done this week and the effects will take place for the 2020 season. Cleveland Cavaliers coach John Beilein has officially resigned and will be assigned a new role within the organization. Assistant coach J.B. Bickerstaff will take over as head coach. He led the Memphis Grizzlies a season ago. And Roger Federer to miss the French Open after undergoing knee surgery. That news just now coming in this morning. Love Keynote to go. There's more to love when you add Bullseye for a chance to win up to $300,000. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play your way today. Check in with Pete Michaels Traffic. Get a check of the roads, the interstates. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
All right, good morning. Thank you so much for making the starting lineup part of your Thursday commute. 99.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, Will West. Final segment means love it or leave it for a Thursday. Good morning, Eric Kane.
When you break it all down, it comes to one simple question. Love it or leave it?
Love it or leave it.
All right, gentlemen, Alabama's offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian is reportedly the front runner for the Colorado job. Love it or leave it, Sarkisian being the best option for the Buffs.
I mean, who else is there? Who else, like, name recognition-wise, is there that Colorado? Come on. Why? He can kick his feet up. Continue to collect a check from the University of Tennessee. I'm going to say that it is. I love this right now. Steve Sarkisian gets an opportunity to go back to the Pac-12 and kind of rewrite some of the wrongs. Now, look, it was kind of a rough inning there in Los Angeles with USC. So in Colorado, maybe this year also he gets an opportunity with Colorado to try to adjust things now that he's having to face off against a Pac-12 north of competition than so much Pac-12 south competition.
Yeah, I'm going to leave this. When has Steve Sarkisian ever been good? Anybody?
I think he does an okay job as a coordinator.
He's fine. But he went 8-4 one time at Washington in year five, and he had huge personality issues and maybe addiction issues as well there. And as someone who's fought that, I'm not saying that you should hold that against somebody. I just look at it and say, I don't understand why Sarkisian would be the guy that you would go with there. I would give Eddie Grand that job before I gave that job to Steve Sarkisian. I don't know that Eddie Grand sucks. I know Steve Sarkisian sucks. I would give Joe Moorhead another shot and do it somewhere in the Pac-12 before I gave Steve Sarkisian another shot. It doesn't make it. I would hire Jim Chaney away from Knoxville. No one wants to hear that, but I would hire Jim Chaney away from Knoxville before I were willing to do that. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever that that you're going with Sarkisian, but this Colorado search has just been weird, and I get that it's thrown people off, but Steve Sarkisian's never been good. Literally, it's never happened.
And number six Duke got embarrassed last night in Raleigh after falling 88-66 to NC State. Love it or leave it, Duke being a number one seed.
I love this right now, and ooh, a lot of that's because Baylor or Kansas are going to cannibalize themselves. So I love this right now because I think that was an aberration that NC State was able to beat Duke like that. And so by the time we're through, at the end of the day, I do think that Duke will be back on that one line.
No, Duke's loss last night tells me that two Big 12 teams should be number one seeds in the NCAA tournament. Baylor, Kansas, Gonzaga, K-State, or San Diego State. Those should be your four number one seeds depending on how they finish the regular season. Also, I will say this, 22 points, to put it in perspective, that was the worst loss to a non-ranked opponent in the Mike Krzyzewski era by Duke last night.
Neither of us said Dayton. Are we wrong to not say Dayton?
I like Dayton a lot. Don't like Dayton A-10 more than I do Kansas and Baylor and what they've done in the Big 12. And the A-10 is an improved conference this year.
Hall of Fame running back Emmitt Smith mentioned during an interview this week that Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott should take a discount to save the Cowboys some money. Love it or leave it, Dak needing to take a discount.
Okay, look, do you want to save your offensive line? Do you want to try to bring Amari Cooper back? Do you want to try to salvage what you have on the defensive side of the ball? My question is this. Instead of asking for the $40 million that you reportedly want, your camp wants you to receive, Why not take $31 million and save $9 million and see if you could spread that wealth elsewhere? Make it up endorsements. Emmett Smith actually brings up a good point. The $9 million that you're not going to get by taking $31 million over 40, you're going to make up in endorsements of being the quarterback of the most popular franchise in the world.
Yeah, I'm going to leave this. No, I'm not. I'm going to love this. Now, do you want to win a Super Bowl? Then yes, you should take less. Yes, you should take less. You can't win a Super Bowl with Jerry Jones drawing breath on the face of planet Earth. So I would say, since you can't win a Super Bowl anyway, why not go ahead and get all the money you possibly can at one time?
It's just funny coming from Emmett Smith, who set out two games.
He's the guy who held out himself to change the running back market. Yeah.
Yesterday, Texas A&M scored 17 runs in the second inning and went on to defeat Prairie View A&M 30-2. Love it or leave it, no mercy rule in NCAA baseball.
30-2. They scored 10 in the first and 17 in the second.
I'll leave this. I gotta be honest with you, I don't care. But here's the thing. I want people to care. So I'd rather go ahead and just end the game and let's get this thing over with, rather than have to sit there and just watch somebody go through the motions for three more innings and when they're up 28-6 or something like that. So yeah, I'll leave this. There should be a mercy rule. It is still amateur athletics.
Yeah, I'll leave this as well. Look, eventually, instead of just taking your underwear off and then waving the white flag, it is what it is. Go out there, shake hands. Clearly, that's what they agreed to do in the seventh inning last night.
What did taking your underwear off have to do with that?
You don't have a white flag, so you don't remember the cartoon.
So you take your underwear off and throw it up pole?
You're wearing whitey tighties?
But you randomly got a stick?
You don't remember the cartoons as kids where they were
Captain Underpants.
Yeah. Where he didn't have a white flag, so he'd just take his underwear off, put on a flag, and wave it.
No, but I like where you're going there.
All right. Drake had $620,000 watch custom watch. Watch custom made, which includes a roulette wheel on the dial. I apologize. Love or leave it, Drake's new timepiece.
I love watches, and I love roulette. I think this is genius. I saw it last night, and I want one. Now, do I have $620,000 to spend on a watch? No, but I'm sure somebody can make me a knockoff one in New York down an alleyway for $150. It'll break the second I get out of the alley, but I'm telling you, roulette and a watch, you've got to see this thing. It is amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to leave this. This is soft, and this is why Drake's soft.
How is that soft? It's a roulette wheel.
Because you're paying $600,000 for a watch. Get you a Casio. My dad had one for like 25 years and never broke. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get a fitness watch, that is fine. Although I was shopping for, have you ever seen this fitness band that you put on that has the app that tells you how you sleep and how many calories you burn and your heart rate and things like that, heart rate variance? So that's $30 a month. I was looking at that service last night. No, I don't need a 600. It's one thing to have a Rolex, right, for events and things like that. What do I need a $600,000 watch for? Who am I trying to impress? I'm an adult.
Don't make fun of me for my Captain Underpants reference.
No, I liked it. It was good. I just didn't know what you were talking about.
Desert Island.
I was just like,
missiles.
Ivan just got a little weird with us. Talking about people taking their pants off.
No. I haven't worn whitey tighties since I was like 9. Yeah. But the point is, though.
And by 9, he means 29. Okay.
What it is,
and by 29,
it
means I did it yesterday.
Sometimes you don't wipe well. It's just like, it's what it is.
Oh, man. You went there.
99.1. We got a practice report. You got one for us coming up on the other side?
We got anything other than this conversation.
Tyler Ivins, Will West, hour two of TSL for a Thursday. On the way next on 99.1, the Sports Animal.